So often in our culture, we like to present ourselves as having it all together, as having no problems. And if we do have problems, we keep them within a very small circle, kind of hide them, whitewash them, pretend that we're different, that we don't have such issues, when in fact, all of us, because of our sinful birth into a sinful humanity, we all have our brokenness and our issues. But we've been somehow brainwashed to think that we need to present a front. And that is certainly not a Christian concept. That's actually opposite what the Lord would have us do. We're called to be transparent in all aspects of our life, not just politically correct, because that's a buzzword for today, but really to be who we are. We are creatures. We are creatures who are prone to sin. We are creatures who are prone to sin, prone to misunderstanding, prone to mistakes, prone to not learning our lesson over and over again. What our gospel teaches us today is that we should not run from such truth, but rather use it to give glory to God. So let's look at this gospel for a moment. There's many brokenness issues that are revealed here, and I'm glad that John, the writer, has included them and not deleted them, which is probably what you and I would do if we were writing our own genealogy, or our own family history, or our own life story. Avoid those things that we've done wrong and only highlight what we've done right. So John, the very first thing he says is that they're up in the upper room and they're hiding. The doors are locked because they're afraid. How often have you and I not done our duties, our due diligence, because we're afraid? Afraid of what others might think, afraid of what others might say, afraid of our own failure, afraid of our own shadow. Fear is part of the fallen human condition. John includes it. He doesn't erase it, doesn't pretend it didn't exist. The disciples are chickens. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is shown in today's gospel with nail marks, with a pierced side. If that isn't a broken human condition, I don't know what is. We could have whited that out. Jesus could have just appeared in glory and revealed himself, but he was identified by his nail marks, by his pierced side. You and I all have our issues. We all have our brokenness, and divine mercy is all about entering into that forgiveness, compassion, and charity as we are, not as we hope to be or want to be, but as we are. Jesus breathes his Holy Spirit on the disciples today and says, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Jesus knows the human condition, that it's a repeat performance. Each generation is going to have to learn its own lesson. It can't be inherited. It can only be taught by you and I who bear witness to it. When you think of people who have witnessed to us in any area of life, whether it be religious or performance at work or even within the home life, are you and I most stirred when someone has a natural talent? Or are we moved in greater measure of the heart when we see someone who is weighed down, who works and works and works to bring themselves up? And while the end result may only be a fraction of what the natural person had, you and I applaud it because we all love a good story where the lowest is raised up by hard work. Of course, we appreciate those who have natural skill sets and abilities, but we're more moved. It stirs something within us when we see someone who fights for it, perseveres through their weakness, and triumphs, even if it's not of the same quality as the one who has the natural ability. So too with faith. Think of the people who are given to us, who you and I have inherited the faith from. Certainly we could go all the way back to, you know, the whole Old Testament, but just pull out David, King David. Look at Jesus' own genealogy. The sacred writers didn't delete the truth. He had prostitutes in his family line. Jesus comes from prostitutes. Jesus comes from King David. Not only did he commit adultery, but then he ended up destroying those who knew about it. This is no small thing. Saint Paul himself, persecutor of Christians in his own time, that's the witness that is given to us. Not a bunch of people who got it right the first time, but people who made mistakes. Granted, we're not supposed to stay in our mistakes and we're not supposed to revel in our sinfulness. That's not what's being said here. But there is something about Thomas, the sheer honesty. I'm not going to believe until God proves it. How many of us have said the same exact thing? If God is a loving God, then why am I suffering? Maybe we've said that. Same thing. Prove yourself. Like the thieves hanging on the cross. If you are who you say you are, take yourself down. Save us too. Do our will, not the Father's will. But that's not mercy. That's control, domination. Mercy is hanging there for the sake of the other, bearing witness, suffering with, suffering for, suffering on behalf of. These are the witnesses that you and I have been given and we're called to imitate, not in their sinfulness, but in their perseverance. We all know that at any moment, we could leave the faith. We've seen it time and again through the sacred texts. People who were faithful all along, the last hour, gave it all up. All we need to do is look back at Holy Week, at Judas. He was an apostle, after all, chosen by God, chosen by name, and at the last hour, walked away from it. Consider the rich young man when Jesus proposed the Christian life to him. It's too hard. He went away sad. You know, the world we're living in right now is a difficult world, as is every generation. Different, but always a trial for the people who are living during it. We've been given such witnesses and such examples to give us inspiration to imitate and certainly to continue doing so that the next generation can have the same witnesses that you and I have had. We shouldn't shrink away from our shortcomings and failings, but rather run to the confessional when we know we've done wrong, experience the grace of that breath of the Holy Spirit that Jesus extends to us, and then extend it to those around us, always with the goal of growing closer to the crucified, risen Lord. How do we do this? I think there's four categories that were given to us in the Acts of the Apostles. You know, over time, you and I can lose our memory. We weren't there at that actual event. We only know about it through the people who witnessed it. So when we listen to their story, to how they responded, Acts of the Apostles is the closest that we can get. And how did they respond? We just heard fear, hiding in the upper room. But after that, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, what was their response? They devoted themselves. They made a commitment. They made a commitment to the teaching of the apostles. Brothers and sisters who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, when's the last time you picked up the catechism or the sacred text? Oh, I went through Catholic schools my whole life. That's nice. Do you have all the answers to everything in life? I went far more than Catholic high school. I never went to Catholic high school. I'm a public. All those years of theology, still learning, still cracking it open, still having the Lord reveal, shed light. Our minds are easily clouded by the world we live in, by our TV, our media, sometimes the friendships we keep. We need to enter into the teaching of the apostles, to dedicate ourselves once again to the teachings of the apostles, to the communal life. We call it parish life in our day. That when you're weak, hopefully the person sitting next to you is there to help you along. Not to encourage you in your brokenness, but to pull you up, to assist you to come back to the altar. The communal life is critical, and we, again, see it today. Falling apart, maybe? It's too hard. We're too busy. Every excuse under the sun. But for those who have actually experienced the death and resurrection of the Lord, it's not an option. It's a devotion. They devoted themselves to the communal life, to the teaching of the apostles. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, worship. Now, you who are here know that Sunday Mass is not an option. But what about all of our family members who have fallen away, or, again, excuses? Is Jesus risen from the dead or not? And is what we're doing here real? Or are we just playing a part in some story, like a Santa Claus or an Easter Bunny? These people believed it. That's why they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, to the communal life, and to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and to prayers. The fourth, if you and I are not praying at home, if we're not developing and working on our relationship with the living God, we won't have much to offer here or to the community. The reading of the teaching of the Acts of the Apostles or the sacred text won't really set well if we're not ourselves investing in this Christ who has risen from the dead. It's just an academic endeavor. But that's not what we're called to. So this day, we celebrate the divine mercy of God. What we're experiencing again is Jesus' invitation to experience anew Him risen from the dead. You and I should have no fear. No fear of what others think, of what others may say. We should have no fear of death. Our Holy Week showed us death has no power for those who are faithful to the Father. The invitation today is to cling to the one who rose from the dead, to imitate Him in all things. And we do that by watching the generations that have come before us, the saints. You know, Sister Faustina, who gives us this image, took that image from the prophet Ezekiel. Not in the same way, but the prophecy. Recall the author who is having this mystical encounter with God. And he has a vision. And he says, I saw the temple, translated, God's presence, where all the people gather around. I saw the temple, and from the temple came a trickle of water. And from that trickle of water came a flow of water. And then I realized it was up to my hips. And pretty soon I was swimming in this water that was flowing from the temple. And all around me was new life. From the flowing of the water from the temple, it entered into the salt sea, which changed the salt sea to fresh water. This is Christ. Christ is the temple. He told us that Himself. Destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll rebuild it. What? A building? We've been working on this 40 years. No, I'm the temple, He said. And from me comes this life-giving water, this gush of healing, reconciliation, this beautiful gift of the sacramental life. You and I have been called to enter into that pure side of Christ today by virtue of our baptism, certainly, but our participation in reconciliation, the breath of the Holy Spirit coming upon us to absolve us of our sins, and certainly, again, coming up for Holy Communion, His very presence, feeding the soul that has been livened by that baptismal grace. So again, we're invited to consider our own reaction to the risen Lord. Are we investing ourselves in the teaching of the apostles? Are we devoted to the communal life? Are we committed to offering ourselves at Mass? And are we working on our relationship with the living God?